Hi there, this is Vicki Ronchetti with The Confirmation Conversation, because who doesn't want to talk about dogs? Today, I am joined by Rebecca Lanier, who is our mindset coach for Show Dog Prep School. She's also a licensed therapist who specializes in working with individuals and couples on relationship issues. And today, we're going to be talking about redefining winning. So how can we redefine winning so that you can have a more positive experience in the show ring and actually enjoy the sport more? So thank you, Rebecca, for being here and being willing to do this.
Thanks so much for having me, Vicki. It's a pleasure.
So let's start with this. Why are we having this talk? Why is this important?
It's such a good question because, you know, I think one of the things that is really overlooked when it comes to dog sports and particularly confirmation is mindset, right? I mean, it's super understandable that a lot of people focus on training their dog, how to be in the ring, how to stack, how to gate, their handling skills. But a lot of people don't take the time to really focus on training their mindset, right? The mental and emotional aspect of dog shows. So there's a lot of pieces when it comes to mindset that we can unpack and talk about. But I think for today, really focusing on redefining winning and how making that mindset shift can help people pursue their goals.
Yeah. And I talk about this a lot, that this is the one area where we're really missing the mark in terms of helping people. And I think that also people don't understand that this is an important thing that they can actually work to change and make it better for themselves. Like they just think, you know, they're having these feelings or, you know, feeling this certain way, and that's just the way it's going to have to be, and they have to deal with it. But there's actually things they can do to make it better for them. So hopefully we can help them with that. So why do you think that we need to define winning in dog sports?
So here's how I kind of see it. If you don't redefine winning, you're really setting yourself up to be disappointed more times than not. Because let's face it, if you just look at it strictly from a mathematical perspective, you're going to lose more than you're going to win when it comes to dog shows. There's only so many ribbons and so many placements. And so not everyone's going to go home, quote, a winner. If you define winning as earning a ribbon or your breed or getting a group placement, really what that is you're just focused on the outcome. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with having that goal, right? We all want to win dog shows.
Yeah.
It's an honor to be recognized and selected by the judge. But, you know, the problem really is if you're focused on the outcome, you're at greater risk for things like burnout, feeling disappointed, frustration, anger, you know, could really start to impact your self-esteem. And ultimately, that could affect your dog's well-being as well. So if we're just looking at winning means getting a ribbon or a placement, you're going to be disappointed.
Absolutely. And I think that, you know, I always tell people that if you're going to do this sport, you really need to just like the life, right? Like I go to dog shows when my dogs aren't entered, you know, I want to be there. So I have to enjoy other aspects of it besides just winning. For me, it's about the time with my dog and hanging out with friends and just getting to be in that environment that I love so much. It's not when it becomes all about the winning, then you literally are going to go home disappointed if you didn't win, you know? And it's like, of course, there's times when you are disappointed, particularly if you think you should have won. Mm-hmm. But if you, you know, most of the time, if I don't win, I mean, it's usually nice dogs that beat my dogs, you know? So I mean, we really have to change our thinking and our mindset from, you know, it's only going to be fun if I win. And I've noticed that this is very difficult. I've talked to you about this before. It's very difficult for people who are, particularly people who have like done a lot of education. They're used to putting in their time, working hard, and then there's a guaranteed outcome, right? Mm-hmm. And that's also true of most dog sports. Like if you train your dog well for agility or obedience, maybe they're not going to get a placement, but they're going to title. And if they do it right, then they probably are going to get a placement, right? If they perform well, whereas your dog can go to the show ring and do everything absolutely perfectly well. And if the judge doesn't pick them, they just don't pick them. And that's part of the game. Like that's the way this sport is done. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we cannot focus on that. It's really about having a good time there and other stuff. So, okay. So how do we redefine winning?
So I think what you just spoke about is so true. And I think this is a big part of how we can do that is shifting your focus from the win to the process. And my gosh, there's so many things involved in that, right? So the process of going to the dog show, training your dog, you know, if your club is having a specialty, you know, being around fellow exhibitors and fellow breeders, right? There's, I mean, if you're traveling for a show, like that's part of the process and preparing for that and staying at a hotel with your dog. So if we look at how can we find those other wins other than just the ribbon, you're going to be able to hang in there for the long run. And you're really going to end up loving this experience in this sport because you've set other goals and kind of define that as your win. So I like to think about kind of winning in three ways. So we win when we advance towards our goal, towards, you know, whatever we're set out to accomplish, right? So if your goal is to become a breeder, and let's say you didn't place that day, right? But a really well-known breeder in your breed comes up to you and gives you a compliment about how much they liked your presentation in the ring. That's a win for me. I would be super humbled and honored for that. You know, like I would walk away on cloud nine. If
and not happened. Walk away like, well, why didn't the judge didn't think so? You know, it's like also looking for the good, right? Like, yeah. Like you have to sometimes find the good in what happened. It's like not, you know, it's like you have to look for, well, there was something really positive there.
Right.
You know,
right.
And down the line, what if that breeder is someone that you want to have a relationship with in terms of breeding or working with down the line? Mm-hmm. I mean, there could be really positive things happening that are going to help you down the line, just not maybe today with this dog's championship points.
Such a good point. Right. It's like planting seeds, you know? And so that's the thing that I like to tell people is, you know, you have no idea what today's experience, how that can help you tenfold down the road, you know, just showing up, right? And just like being a good, you know, exhibitor and having a positive attitude and talking to people and being friendly, all of those things really, you start to kind of make a name for yourself. And like you're saying, you know, making connections with people and how that can kind of help you down the road in your breeding program really can pay off. So that's one way to kind of look at this is, what's your ultimate goal, you know, and what are those kind of steps to getting there? And every step along the way, if you achieve that, that's a win.
And also, one goal for a new person in showing could be just getting more comfortable in the ring. Mm-hmm. And that's time in the ring to do that. And the time to do that is, you know, maybe while your dog is still learning or maybe while your dog is still maturing, when it doesn't, there's not a big loss. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, to just allow yourself to get comfortable with that. This is new. If you haven't done, I've noticed that people that do theater or dance or have done some sort of performance stuff, you know, they tend to find this less intimidating because they're used to being scrutinized and watched and being, you know, being in front of people. But if you haven't, then just getting used to that can take some time and practice.
Huge. Oh my gosh. You know, that like spotlight phenomenon they talk about, you know, like we all think the spotlight's on us and everyone's watching us. It can definitely be intimidating, especially when you're in, you know, a big ring and a lot of empty space. It's an adjustment to get used to, but that can be a goal to work towards, you know? And if you go in, you know, like, let's say you set that as your goal and go in there and you're a little less anxious next time, you know, you walk a straight line and not a crooked line on the down and back, like that's a win. And again, you're on your way to achieving your kind of bigger goals.
And I frequently tell people that this is a big moment when you recognize that you can actually think in the ring, that you can assess, that you can look and go, oh, I need to do this because this is happening. And you're not just in there in pure survival panic mode the whole time, that you're actually able to go, oh, I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that. Those are big moments. Those are little successes to celebrate as well.
For me, a success, and I 100% can remember having that experience. And for me, it's when I come out of the ring and maybe like 5 minutes later, someone's like, you know, who took winner's dog or who took winner's bitch? And I'm like, you know, early on, oh my gosh, what are you talking about? I have no idea. I'm just, you know, coming down from, you know, the rush of being in the ring. But now, because I've been doing it, I've got the practice. Yeah, it's a lot easier to kind of remember those points and to be able to think clearly. So another way that I think we can kind of redefine winning is if we look at it like we're here to learn, and every time we learn something through a challenge or a struggle, that's a win, right? Because you can take that lesson with you the next time around. And if you look at, so for instance, let's say you don't place, right? But if you stand back and look at that objectively and say, okay, what could I have done better? You know, what was my, was I off today? Was I walking too fast? Was my dog anxious? Were there other dogs in the ring that were impacting my dog's ability to be okay, right? When you kind of start to look at, okay, how can I improve? That's a win, because you're going to work really hard. And if you're an owner handler, you're going to be determined, right, to overcome that and to be better next time. Right. So looking at it like kind of more objectively and saying, how can I use this as a learning opportunity?
I always tell people that their entry fees, especially when you're showing puppies, young dogs, or you're just learning and you feel like you're fumbling, that your entry fees are your tuition and your time in the ring is your education. Like that's the time to be learning this and not focusing so much on winning, but just navigating this new thing that you're doing. People don't always realize, like a lot of times people just think, oh, handlers just always win, blah, blah, blah. But it's like, if you watch good handlers, it's because they really know how to present dogs. They don't even have to think about it. So, you know, people can feel like, oh, I never win. The handler always wins. Well, the handler has been doing this probably forever. Some of them since they were kids. Mm-hmm. Like this is what they do. And not only that, this is how they make their living. It is, you know, there's a lot that goes into it. So there's not a lot of sports where amateurs and professionals compete alongside one another. You would not just see me rolling into a baseball game and start playing with the A's or something. Like it doesn't work that way, but it does in this sport. Mm-hmm. So, you know, as owner handlers, it's up to us to up our game, get better. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And not, you know, can complain about it.
You know,
go ahead.
And that ties into this kind of last way that I like to think about how we can redefine winning, which is you're winning when you're focused on who you become in the process, right? Where you're going, the path. And so everything that you just said, right? It's, if you can look at how have you evolved as a person, you know, has this helped you become more consistent in life, consistent with your dog training, more motivated, more encouraging? You know, have you, through kind of the trials and tribulations of going to dog shows over time, gained more confidence, right? Because the more you train, the better skilled you get, the more confident you become. And so I think, to me, this is like the coolest aspect of dog sports and just like being a team with the dog, is who you kind of grow into.
And maybe even who you grow into as a team.
Yeah.
Or as, yeah, you know, in your relationship with your dog, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that's, and you know, depending on how far you want to go in this and what you want to do, you know, it's really, as breeders, we're always looking at the next step, the next step. It's interesting, in the mentor program, a few people were just talking about having finished their dogs and this huge relief, and this, they finally are able to have fun because the stress of that first championship or will this dog ever finish? Whereas I feel like if you've been in it for a while, you're just like, ah, if she doesn't finish, she doesn't finish. You know what I mean? Like, yes, of course I want her to, but it's certainly not the end of the world. You know, it doesn't mean I can't love the dog. It doesn't mean I can't breed the dog. It, you know, it's just, it's just another thing. But the, just the amount of pressure that people can put on themselves when this is supposed to be a hobby. Like, I refuse to let people not enjoy this if this is something they're supposed to be doing for fun. Like, you're not getting paid for it, so you shouldn't be stressing about it. You know, it's supposed to be your hobby.
Right, right.
So why is this important for the dog?
Well, this is where your expertise comes in, my friend, right? I mean, gosh, your mindset as the owner on the other end of the lead, really lowering the stakes and kind of having your focus be more on the process together, those smaller goals, those smaller wins, let's say. I shouldn't say they're smaller wins, because in some ways they could be bigger.
Yeah, like, right.
My wins for my dogs and how stable they are in the ring, and if they're having a good time, and if they're connected to me, and, you know, they're not stressed out being in that environment. Honestly, I would take that win any day over a ribbon.
Right, right.
And so how you are as the human, right, how you're doing emotionally and mentally is going to transfer down to the dog. And you can definitely speak more to that.
Absolutely. And, you know, some dogs will be more forgiving of this than others. Some of them will absolutely not be able to perform with any sort of comfort or predictability if you don't have your act together and your head together. Like, if we go in there and we're acting weird, we're acting not like ourselves, especially if you have a super sensitive dog or a worried dog or an insecure dog, if you go in there like you're not in a safe place, and you're not acting like yourself, you're just going to make it worse for the dog. You know, you have to strive to be better in the ring so that you can be a better teammate for your dog. Like, we can't expect them to perform and be able to do this and have their head together when we're a mess. Mm-hmm. I remember a long time ago, a very, very good friend of mine, she was just learning to show, and she was came out of the ring and she was so bummed. And she had her head down and her arms down, and the dog was trotting along behind her. And I remember going up to her and saying, that is not okay. She did everything she could do. Your dog performed to perfection. Now you're acting like she's disappointed you. And she felt so bad and was like, oh my gosh, I didn't even realize it. It's like, yeah, like, you know, it you cannot let that, what's happening in the ring or whether or not you win, seep into your relationship with your dog in a negative way. You know, it just really is, you know, that's how we teach them to hate showing. When we are just in there acting like this is the end of the world, it's not the end of the world. You know, like, you're being at the emergency hospital because your dog needs some sort of emergency surgery is the end of the world, right? That's when you should be stressed out and upset, but not if, you know, your dog didn't get picked at the dog show. So we really owe it to our dogs to have our heads in the game and be the handler that they need us to be. Not so that we win, so that we can both give a winning performance that will hopefully result in a win. But that's all we can do. Like, we can't make the judge pick us if they don't pick us, you know? So the best you can do is be kind, be a good sport, be a good exhibitor in the ring, be a good example, and be there for your animal. Like, that's all we can ask for.
Yeah, because you go home with that dog.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, you...
Not the judge.
Right. You know? Yeah.
So what are some tools to help people stay focused on the process?
I love your training technique that you can maybe speak to first. And then I've got some other little tips and tricks for folks.
Yeah, this is, so my triad training technique is something I came up with because so many people do get frustrated when they don't win. So kind of like what we were talking about earlier, I asked them to choose three separate things and say, what are the three things you want to accomplish in the ring that are a non-winning or not winning you know, factor. So for instance, I showed my dog at the National and I really wanted him to have focus on me, really good free stacks and clean movement. And we went to the National. He was ranked locally and doing very well, but you know, against some of the bigger guns, it was harder. And he came away from that National with nothing. He didn't win anything, but like our performance was spot on. It was perfect. It was the best that I've ever been. And so it really made it okay for me. There was nothing else we could have done. And, you know, it's just why it goes along the whole, you know, stop trying to change things you can't change. Mm-hmm. You know, I can't change outcomes necessarily. I can change the performance my dog is doing. I can, you know, break it down. And anytime I really say, this is what I want. And like for that National, I said, I'm going to train every day for 30 days for that National. Mm-hmm. And I might've missed a couple of days, but I was pretty good about training all the time. And that's why I got those really solid results that I was happy with. And it's really hard not to be happy about that type of, you know, outcome from the training that I put in. Mm-hmm. So that's something that I like to do just to help people like, here, this is what I want you to focus on. This is your goal. Winning is awesome. And that's what we hope it'll happen. But what you can control is the performance that you're going to give and making that better or making that more how you want it to be.
Yeah. So that training plan is so important, right? Because,
very.
And again, you got to write this stuff down. You know, I mean, it's key. Mm-hmm. I will tell, I mean, it has made such a difference for me and other people that I know who are in dog sports and really seeing it visually written down. You know, and so starting with maybe kind of what are the two things that you want to focus on for your next show, right? The things that you learned from the last show, what are the two things that you want to really hone in on and be mindful for and train for the next show? And even that, you can break those things down even further, right? So if it's, right, you know, you want to get your dog more comfortable on the exam. Well, you don't just like put the dog in situations and have strangers touch it, you know, right, every day for 30 days, right? Like that's not going to work.
Right.
You have to break that down. So, and that's where someone like you would come in handy, right? Like someone who understands confirmation and understands dog behavior and training to kind of help folks really look at what, how do we get to that ultimate goal of them being comfortable with the judge's exam? There are smaller pieces to help work towards that.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's like anything in life, right? If you say, this house is a mess, I got to clean this house, then you're probably never going to do it because it's so overwhelming. And if you say, my dog is just not good in the ring, we're just not any good, you have to really pull things apart. Like, okay, I'm going to clean the bathroom today. Like that's a place I can start. Then it's less overwhelming. Also in terms of figuring out the, you know, when your goals need to happen. Like if I say, I want my dog to, you know, be a champion. Okay. But maybe I'm going to set a 3-month goal to where the goal for the 3 months is that we can get the dog more comfortable with being on the exam. Mm-hmm. Right. So instead of, you know, I don't need goals that are not going to happen for 9 months to be in my 3-month mm-hmm. goal list. So I will sometimes like make a circle and that circle is like, this is a goal. And then a little branches off that. How can I make this goal happen? Right. And so instead of looking at the whole entire picture, which is just too big and too overwhelming, I'm just going to break it down and look at this one piece and work on that.
And let me ask you this.
Okay.
If you were to go in the ring, right, having that kind of be your 3-month goal and you accomplish those things, if your dog was able to do those things, you know, ribbon or not, how would you walk out of that ring feeling?
Great. I would feel great because it's like I could control it. I made it happen. Me and the dog made this happen. Mm-hmm. And, you know, again, it might not be the ribbon, but you might get other sorts of like, maybe someone took a video and you see the video and you're like, oh my gosh, we looked really good. Or maybe someone comes up to you and compliments you on, wow, you've really come along as a handler, mm-hmm. you know, or something like that. Mm-hmm. Those other things that, you know, they don't have to count as it, but you know, it probably will help to reinforce you for just having that good experience in there. And I also just want to say that, you know, I'm somebody who likes to write things down. So journaling that way is very good for me, but you know, someone might be more computer savvy and they might prefer to create a spreadsheet, and someone mm-hmm. else might just want to have like a dry erase board in their training room, you know, do whatever works for you, but just figure out a way to actually keep track, because whatever the behavior is, but definitely when you're working on like fear or something, you need to, anything that's really frustrating, sometimes you need to actually record your process, your progress mm-hmm. so that you can see it. Because if I ask somebody, let's say I'm working with someone who has a dog who's reactive, and they say he reacts every time he sees a dog on a walk. Okay, but then we've been working together for a few weeks, and now he says, we went on a walk and he only reacted once and we saw three dogs. Well, if I don't ask them that, they might still remain frustrated from that one reaction and not realize that mm-hmm. they're actually, it's improving, you know? So you sometimes have to write that down to see that you're getting progress and improvement.
That's a win.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So how can people better deal with winning, but still have fun? So, well, with not winning and still have fun, like, like how can you have a good time if you didn't win?
Oh, there's so many ways. You know, I think again, kind of remembering why you're there. Why are you doing this? What's the purpose? I mean, gosh, if you're not enjoying it and not having fun, I think you need to take a step back and reevaluate kind of your bigger goals. But one of the ways that I think is such a great way is to have community, right? I mean, yeah. Going to the dog show and being in the ring for the 2 minutes you're in the ring, and maybe you go back in for winners, or maybe you go back in, you know, for breed or group placement, but you know, the actual time you're in the ring is very limited, you know, when you look at yeah. how, you know, the show's all day. And so to have a community of friends that you can meet there, that you can hang out with, that you can, you know, support if they're in a different breed, you guys can support each other ringside and be there cheering each other on. You know, for me, that's, I think, one of the greatest gifts about going to dog shows is the people that you meet and, you know, they're supporting each other.
Yeah. And like, we went to Orlando together and we watched Cavaliers, and then we watched yeah. Dachshunds, and then we went over and watched another client. And then we also hung out with a junior handler and her mom. So yeah. all of us with all these different breeds, mm-hmm. like, it's just really refreshing to, mm-hmm. to do that. And I think that that's where something like the mentor program or a handling class or things like that, where you actually are having friends outside your breed, can be really mm-hmm. beneficial. I mean, for a bunch of reasons, like you said, you know, you have support, you just have a different group. You're not competing against each other necessarily. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it helps to, you know, actually see what's going on in other breeds,
mm-hmm.
either to see, oh, it's just not my breed where this happens, or, but also, you know, look how it can be in another breed, you know, things like that. Just that idea of community and support. And again, that is what the mentor program is all about, right? It's having a safe mm-hmm. place. It's having, you know, a community that is absolutely safe and supportive. And I think that that's so important. So I do think not only having community, but also we talk about like creating a home at the dog show, like mm-hmm. making sure that you have figured out a way to make yourself comfortable in a space. And that may mean that you bring an easy up and you have your chair. You might want to have a very, you know, set up area like that. Or maybe it's just smaller and you just like to wheel in and go to your little corner, but you need to figure out a way where you're feeling comfortable and you can really relax. And sometimes you need to, especially if you have a dog and you're doing like group stuff or owner handler, where you're waiting around and waiting around for groups, you know, your dog has to have a place where they can decompress mm-hmm. And actually sleep and rest. And, you mm-hmm. know, so I think figuring out a way to have a space that you also feel comfortable in can be helpful and make it more yeah. enjoyable for you.
Definitely, definitely. And, you know, a lot of shows, there's other sports happening at the same time. So that's a big way. I've got a lot of friends that do this. I don't, but, you know, I go cheer them on. You know, but if there's fast cat or agility or duck diving or obedience or rally, you know, so if that's more your thing, right? And you know, have maybe more fun doing that stuff than confirmation, you know, sign up for those things, you know, look forward to doing those events, right?
Or don't, or just meander over there. Just take your dog for a walk around the grounds and just go watch a little bit and see, you know, meet new people over there. I mean, sometimes some of those sports, it's not necessarily that they're more welcoming. It's that there might be more waiting around. Whereas if you're at the show ring, handlers are rushing around, people are grooming dogs. But when you wander over and everyone's just standing around in line waiting for fast cat, that's when people can really start talking and making friends and hanging out. Same with barn hunt, same with agility. You know, I don't even have to be running my dog in some of these sports, but I might just, you know, literally take a walk for me and my dog. And some of these fairgrounds are big and you can use that just to really even not even go near the sports, just go walk in a field off and, you know, just go spend some other time with your dog doing, you know, what's good for them too.
Absolutely.
So I think that we have covered a lot here. We're giving people a lot to think about in terms of how they can redefine winning so that they can, you know, really learn to enjoy this sport. We're going to be doing more of these talks. Rebecca also offers coaching for people for the mindset area. I offer coaching for the training and confirmation area. And then we both do presentations on these things in the mentor program. So thank you so much for listening. Rebecca, thank you for being here. This was a great talk.
Thanks for having me. Yeah.
So we're going to be doing more. So look for those. And if you haven't already subscribed to our Facebook page and our YouTube channel and this podcast, please do so. Thanks everyone for being here.